Well, St. Paul is such a great saint that he has two feast days. We'll be celebrating his martyrdom later in the year. But today, on January 5th, we celebrate his conversion, which was one of the most important events in the history of the church. It was an earth-shaking event for the early church and continues in these last 2,000 years to be one of the most important events, because you have a bitter persecutor of the Christians who became the greatest apostle, the greatest missionary that the church has ever seen. Saul of Tarsus was born in that area, which is now southeastern Turkey. In that town of Tarsus, he was a tent maker by profession, raised in this devout Jewish population that lived there in Tarsus, was given the name Saul. As a young man, he was brought up as a very strict Pharisee, and he went off to Jerusalem to study under the most famous rabbi called Gamaliel of Jerusalem. And that's when he encountered Christians for the first time, and he avowed to eliminate them. He became an avowed enemy of Christianity, considering them heretics and apostates from the Jewish faith. So he hunted down these heretics, those who followed this new way of Jesus. He even stood over the martyrdom of Saint Stephen. As Stephen was being stoned to death, Saul of Tarsus was there overseeing it and approving of this murder of this devout Christian man. Perhaps it was Stephen's prayer, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, that helped to perhaps begin to soften the heart of Saul of Tarsus. Saul, though, had this great desire to stamp out all Christians, and so he was given letters from the high priest to go to Damascus, and he was about to go, as Scripture says, house to house, and he had dragged out men and women from their homes, put them in chains, and now he's going to do the same thing in Damascus, arrest the Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem. It was on his way to Damascus that he was knocked to the ground. It's interesting, Scripture never says that he was on a horse, even though it would make sense that he was sort of knocked off his high horse. It's probably where we get that expression from. And he was blinded by this incredible light. And it was so bright that he went blind. And this voice came to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." See, Jesus identifies himself with each of us. When the church is persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. When a Christian is persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. Those words burned so much into the soul of St. Paul that he would always write about this later, about the mystical body of Christ and now how we are members of Christ's body. So now we have Saul of Tarsus lying on the ground, blind, and he had to be escorted to the city. And it was there that he remained in this blind state for a while until Ananias, a Christian disciple, was told by God to go and to meet with him. And Ananias was afraid because, of course, Saul of Tarsus, it could have been a trap. It could have been a plot. But no, the voice told him, no, go and pray with him and baptize him. So he went, and Saul was converted. It says the scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. So not only could he see physically, he could see spiritually that Jesus was the Son of God. He realized that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, who had appeared and converted him on the road. So what does he do next? He gets baptized. So now he is a Christian, and now he becomes the greatest of all the apostles. So now he begins to proclaim the gospel, and now his life is in danger because now the Jewish leaders are trying to kill him. And so he begins to travel around, and he makes these missionary journeys all over the Mediterranean, spreading the gospel of God from one end of the Mediterranean Sea to the other. He's called the second founder of Christianity, and he would do this for the next 30 years until, during the persecution of Nero, he would be arrested and sent to Rome, and near St. Peter, who was crucified upside down, St. Paul was beheaded. He could not be crucified because he was a Roman citizen. So Paul is beheaded at the spot where the magnificent basilica, St. Paul's, stands today. So if you go to Rome, you can pray at the spot of his martyrdom and pray at the tomb of St. Paul right outside the city walls. So what can we learn from this great saint? I think there's a couple lessons we can learn. First of all, there's always hope. You might be praying for someone, maybe your kids, maybe your grandkids. You can think, well, will they ever be converted? Well, with St. Paul, there's always hope. Here you had the most bitter anti-Christian becoming a saint, becoming a great apostle. I think we should also learn the power of God's grace. See, Saul did nothing to merit this. It was grace. Grace means a free gift of God. So Paul was converted by the grace of God. What Jesus did on the cross was applied to him. The prayers of Stephen, the prayers of the early church, helped to bring about his conversion. So we should always be praying for leaders, for world leaders, for political leaders, for anyone who is a prominent individual who might be atheistic or agnostic or anti-Christian or anti-Catholic. We as a church need to pray for them. And then we can start seeing some of these conversions like a St. Paul. So St. Paul would then suffer a great deal. He was shipwrecked. He was scourged many times. Eventually, he gave his life and he was beheaded, even though his message lives on through his writings, through the epistles. You know, he wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to the Philippians, even though I've heard Lecter say to the Filipinos, which if they were around, he would have written to them too. So Paul would write these epistles and his words live on. But let me just end with his most famous couple sentences. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous. Love is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude, it does not seek its own interests, it is not quick-tempered, it does not brood over injuries, it does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, and love will never end. I'll give you a blessing now with the relic of St. Paul. You're welcome to venerate it after Mass. Through the intercession of St. Paul, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.